Hello all, welcome to a new episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. We're so happy you're back, and you know the drill, before we get magical up in here, I have to ask you fine people to take a few seconds to support us any way you can. We know this year has been a true nightmare of a year for everyone, so whatever way you can right now, whether it's joining our Patreon for exclusive content, subscribing to our Twitch and YouTube channels, or just leaving a rating and review on iTunes, your support means literally everything to us, and independent creators like us really rely on our communities, especially in such hellish times like these. So, of course, we always want to thank you and our Patreon donors for getting us and keeping us here, and the awesome Emily Mayo for composing our incredible theme song. Next up, we have to thank today's sponsor. Hopefully you already know them, and if not, you should know that we absolutely love them, and we're really excited to tell you about Kobold Press and their Southlands Kickstarter. The Southlands feature high adventure in a self-contained and standalone campaign setting, with all of the tools at your fingertips for a dozen adventures, and even full campaigns. This is an updated 5th edition version, which includes new player options, an updated world book with all new chapters, and a fantastical city book to launch a memorable campaign, and a caravan's weight in short and medium length adventures. The Southlands setting is fully compatible with 5th edition of the world's first RPG. There are all manner of print, digital, and VTT versions of Southlands available through the Kickstarter, so I urge you to find out more at koboldpress.com. Now let's get into what happened last time on Venture Maidens. Our heroes stepped through the final gate to find themselves in a room full of shoes. With the help of an animated sock puppy, the maidens made their way to an arcane workshop. Here, they were able to finish a statue which turned out to be the last key they needed to collect. With the newly born piece in their possessions, they headed back into the maze for a final rendezvous with Chess. And that's what happened! Let's get started.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our heroes reunite the missing chess pieces and are thrown into the midst of an all-out brawl. Will our maidens discover the exit at last? Can our team capture the king? What deadly forces stand in their way? Find out in episode 93, The Dark Tower.
Everybody can see us. Hello, hello, internet. Welcome to another episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. I am very excited to be here. As usual, I am dressed up for the occasion because you know what? It's episode 93, everybody. We are inching ever closer to the end of this campaign for the Venture Maidens before we begin a new campaign. So exciting things are happening. Big things are happening. But before we get into that recap, let's go around and tell people who we are. Hey, everybody, my name is Celeste Conowich, and I am going to be your dungeon master.
I'm Brady Quintero. I'm going to be your Moon Elf Warlock Arnadella Phil.
I am Katie, and I'm going to be playing Fair Valen, your Tiefling Sorceress.
Hi, I'm Nassim, and when I'm not eating pizza, I'm your human monk, Sayonor.
Why not both?
And I am your cleric, who's ready to confront Chess now that we've finished this heckin' gate.
Heckin' gates. Wow, wow. Very, very cool. So we had a little mention of what happened, but last time you all had cleared out that final gate that you had agreed to explore, while Chess, the person you had ran into before, is off finishing off the last gates, presumably to get the very last of these chess pieces that you know are missing from the board at the very center of this maze. So you had completed that, you had dealt with the workshop, you had forged your own rook, so now currently you have your three pieces in hand, and the agreement was that once you finish these gates, you are going to head to the center of the maze and meet Chess, and sort of go from there. So we catch up with you all standing right outside of this gate that you had just stepped out of, the one that has, of course, the workshop icon on it. And once again, this room is very plain, made of stone, like all the others, identical to every other part of the maze you've been in so far.
Good thing we got a map.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna just go meet up with Chess.
Yeah, unless you guys want to prep in any way before we do that.
Well, did we need to, because there were two other gates on the western side, did we need to go and check those out before we went to Chess? Because it was kind of ambiguous about what we needed to do.
So Chess had told you that there were seven gates and that there were eight pieces missing from the board in the center. So as far as you know, if he told you, if they told you the truth, then you all have been through every gate in this maze.
Got it. Okay. Well, yeah, let's head to the center then, I guess.
Yeah.
Should we at least attempt a sneaky approach just in case we can discover anything along the way without alerting Chess or someone else to our presence?
I think he's probably... They...
I mean, they're aware that we're in this place, but should we at least try to be sneaky?
Yeah, I mean, it never hurts, I guess. Better safe than sorry.
True.
So yeah, I mean, if you all want to make a group stealth check as you approach, you can certainly do so. So everybody go ahead and roll me a stealth check.
11.
That's not good.
14. I also got an 11.
21.
That's not good either. That is a failure across the board, everybody.
What?
Well. So because it's a group check, half of you have to succeed.
I guess. I mean, whatever.
So you are picking your way through the maze once again, and you are following the directions that you have been given by Chess to reach the very center of this maze, which you still haven't actually seen yet. So as you wind around corners, thinking you're pretty quiet, I think, Sawyer, you're a little bit ahead, so you're like, yeah, we're so quiet, as the rest of you are kind of trotting along.
We're crushing it.
Tromp, 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 tromp.
Maybe whisper arguing about whether to turn left or right at certain intervals. But eventually you do find your way, and Saya, I think you're the first to kind of see what is set up in front of you here. So at the very center of the maze, you see that there is this square area that's maybe like a 40 by 40 foot square or so, that's just open, flat rock once again. And you can see a bunch of different tunnel ways leading off from all directions that kind of empty out into this maze center here. So there were definitely multiple ways to get to the center of this maze. And the only thing of note here in this square is that there is a table, a simple stone table, just in the very, very center. And set up on top of it is a chessboard. And this chessboard, standard size chessboard made of wood. You can see, you know, the white and black squares that have been painted with the white and black pieces set up. And standing over this board, kind of looking at it with their hands like sort of crossed in front of them, is Chess, who's just looking down at the board, puzzled. Again, it's a little hard to say exactly what their expression is since they do have that full mask on, but the gesture is one of somebody who's very thoughtfully considering what is going on here. And as you step up, Chess will go, oh, hello. Did you find two pieces?
Yeah, we found two more. We have three now.
I'm sorry, I would have meant four. I was hoping that one of us would find two pieces in one of these gates, but I didn't.
No, we just have... What do we have, guys? We've got the
Black Bishop. White King.
And you just made the White Rook.
And the White Rook.
All right. Well, and Chess kind of, you know, waves a hand over for you to look at the board. And you can see that they've put down their pieces. So there are four pieces on the board. Or right now, there are only
There are four slots that are not filled. So you have your three pieces, and then there is one black knight that seems to be missing. I mean, there are no more gates. I traversed again. I checked everything, and there's simply only seven gates, yet there are eight pieces missing. It's,
Well, we did see one gate that was under construction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I hope we certainly don't have to wait for that to be done before we can get this eighth piece. The prospect of being here for such a long time is not an enticing one. I'm not sure about all of you, but...
Like you said, we don't really know if time passes here like it does in the material plane.
Well, why don't you put your pieces on the board and maybe something magical will happen and we'll all just have our answers in but a moment.
I'll place the pieces that we've collected down onto the board.
Sure, and you do. You place them each in their positions, and you set them down, and there's sort of that expectant moment when you're all looking at the board, and nothing really seems to happen. And Chess, taps a gloved finger against their mask and resumes looking at the board.
Black Knight. Is there anything around in the area, if I look around, that might give us some sort of indication if this is supposed to, maybe like the maze is the last gate or something like, I don't know, something here for us to do?
Yeah, I mean, why don't you go ahead and make a perception check for me or an investigation?
Okay, guidance myself. Dirty 20.
Okay, so you are, you're looking around. I mean, this square courtyard is totally barren. There is no markings of any kind on the walls, any kind of direction, anything. The only thing that's odd is the board itself and the pieces.
Kara's gonna ask Chess, I don't think any of them can do it, but can you make it so that you, cast an orb of darkness over us? Because I'm thinking, Black Knight, maybe it's a pun. I don't know, Minidios is really smart.
Darkness? Yes, I could.
Arnadal chimes in, she's like, I can do that, too.
Oh, I never seen you do it!
Well, by all means.
I mean, well, now Arnadal's, on the spot and was like, I wasn't trying to do it, I just...
why didn't you ask me?
I can. I don't have to.
I'm right here.
Let it be known that I could if I wanted to.
Mostly just, Chess is probably way more powerful. You just can sense it with that type of magicalness.
You just, Arnadel needs him to know that she can do it?
Yeah.
Or them to know?
Yeah, really. Yeah, needs them to know. Weird flex. So... Chess, puts the hand over the mask. Yes, if you think that will help. Snaps a gloved hand, and darkness descends around you all in a 60-foot area.
I want to touch the board and see if anything has changed. Can I tap where the Black Knight would be and see if it's there?
Mm-hmm. Brittany, can you see in magical darkness?
I can. Up to 60 feet and 120 in regular darkness.
Okay, so I think this is... Yeah, this is what happens. As Kara, you are you reach out towards the board to touch it in the darkness. You can't see anything, so there's a clattering sound as you hit one of the chess pieces and it kind of falls over. And Arnadel, as you're watching this, because you can very clearly see through the darkness, as one of the pieces kind of topples over, you notice that there's something on the bottom that you didn't really notice before. It's some kind of symbol.
I snatch it and I look at it.
Yeah, it's still completely dark, by the way. And Chess goes, oh, that's very interesting, as you hold up the piece.
So he knows. He can see in magical darkness as well.
Yeah, they seem to be able to see in magical darkness as well. And as you look at it, on the bottom of this chess piece is a symbol that looks like an hourglass.
Oh. Which piece is it?
It's like a pawn. And you can notice very quickly that all of the pieces have this symbol carved on the bottom, an identical symbol.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
And that gate that we found under construction, there wasn't a symbol in that room anywhere?
There was not. Well, are we done with the darkness? Yeah, and there's another snap and the darkness is gone as quickly as it came. And you all are, you know, kind of thrown back into the light here. I suppose it does make sense if we needed, well, these gates were adorned with the symbols. Perhaps we need to do something with this symbol to interact with this board in some way. Should we, I mean, there's a blank space. Should we just make our own sigil on the board? Is that...
Well, what do you think would...
My brain doesn't think that way. Why?
Well, if we passed through a gate that was marked by a sigil, perhaps if we put this sigil on the board, we can travel through this board or somewhere else. Clearly something has to get us out of this maze.
You're speaking about the hourglass symbol. You'd like to put that on the board in the empty space?
If we carve it on the empty space, perhaps something will happen.
Maybe, yeah, why not?
Saya will, like, twirl out one of her daggers and be like, well, should I get to it?
Well, I mean, we're just sort of standing around here. I'm game. All of you are.
All right. With her best artistic efforts, she tries to carve a little hourglass onto the empty space.
All right, and as you do so, I think there is a weird electricity that kind of fills the air. Arnadel, it's something you recognize as like power moving around as Saria continues to cut and carve the symbol. And Chess just makes a like a, ooh, a kind of sound as, you know, the intensity increases in the air here. And as you finish that final line, everything changes around all of you here. It's no longer that serene quiet of the space that you were just in. It is loud. There are sounds of screaming, of thunderous magic, of almost like gunfire around you. As you take in your surroundings, you are standing on this battlefield, surrounded by soldiers, completely dressed in black armor. And you seem to have found yourself in the middle of this moving war force here. And on the far horizon, you can see an entire camp that stretches across the field of soldiers who are wearing white.
Yeah.
And in the far distance, you see towers at the very ends of the fields here. And people just start yelling around you. And you see that a woman comes forward. She's completely dressed in, again, this like black plate armor with these huge pauldrons. And you see all around her, her hair is complete pitch black and flows around her, almost like the night sky is wrapped around her being as she holds this black sword forward and calls to the soldiers around here. Warriors, it is time once again for us to face the eternal struggle. Are you ready? Are you prepared to face, to do what must be done as we engage in our endless combat? They shall have the first move, but we shall respond in kind. Ah! And she holds up her sword, and all of the like the warriors in black start like, rah, rah, rah.
Oh man, Kara immediately pulls out her axe and is like, ah!
Yes. What are the rest of you doing? Yes, Brittany.
Are we wearing anything different than what we were wearing? Are we wearing black or white?
You appear to be wearing the same exact things you were wearing before, but everything is black.
What? We're black? We're now part of the board? Presumably.
You look. You are completely wearing black right now as you look down.
All my things have been dyed. I mean, I was already wearing a lot of black, but...
Mm-hmm. Your things, your weapons, even your skin sort of has a grayish black quality to it.
We're on a team now.
Is Chess with us in black?
Yeah.
Chess is not with you.
Bitch! What?
Alrighty.
Deserter.
Can we survey the battlefield to see if we could pick his stupid, their ass out on the other opposing team?
You are like looking around. I mean, there's so much chaos going on here. There are like hundreds of people around you on both sides here. You see entire battalions of soldiers, of infantry sort of in the front, getting ready to charge in with pikes and shields. Then you see like units of mounted cavalry around you. And then you see spellcasters dressed in robes. And it's just this whole scene around you. And before you can really even like take in and even think about trying to look around for Chess, this woman who's dressed in all black, and you see now she has this black crown that comes up on her head, like sort of like spikes. She brings down her sword and points directly at all of you, and she says, "Knight, to me, you have a special mission."
That's what we are. Okay. I mean, that is the dopest piece to be. That's the piece that's my favorite chess piece, if I will.
So you walk towards the queen as she beckons you?
Yeah. Oh, fucking run.
Yeah!
Do we move in an L-shaped pattern?
No, you can walk like normal people. And as you do so, you know, you get to her and she strides through and all of the other pieces make way for her as she is stepping through. The soldiers just part. She says, "All of you, it is your job to capture the king. I will hold them off and buy you as much time as I can, but you must get in there, you must get to the castle and get him out." And she points at one of these big towers in the far back, one of the white towers that you would recognize. It's very rook-shaped. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen.
Good. Well, with that out of the way, let us begin! And she throws the sword up one more time, and you see on the far side of the field all of these soldiers dressed in white armor start charging forward. Some of this infantry runs, and just as they gain a bit of ground, Black in turn responds and starts to move up their infantry troops. And very quickly, the queen's attention is pulled away, and you all seem to be left to your own devices as this war begins to rage around you.
Okay, well, looking around, do we have to, like, go through this giant fight, or is it, like, we can just, like, whoop?
Yeah, it, so very clearly, there is the huge army in front of you that is making a big old barrier to get to that white tower, which is behind all of these lines of troops here, so you are gonna have to get there. You're probably about a mile away from your destination, so you got some ground to cover.
If there's anything that Arnadal has learned from Kara, it's to observe thine enemy and see what the fuck's going on before making a move. What are their battle tactics? And I look at Kara. I say that out loud. What are their battle tactics? And we should maybe observe before going forward so we can dodge.
It looks like a traditional English battle from the 1600s where they just fucking run at each other in a field.
So,
yep,
with
accurate
with pikes and boards.
Every once in a while, you do see that like some bolts of magic are coming through here. So you think maybe the clerics are slinging spells as the bishops probably. And then so you'd also see some mounted cavalry running around the center of it. But it is total typical medieval chaos.
All right. Well, I think we should put up as much shields as we can. I can put up a spirit guardians and we can all run together and try to give ourselves as much cover, so to speak, as we can and try to stay in the outskirts of all this bullshit because I have a feeling grabbing that king ain't gonna be so easy and I don't want to use all my shit.
Right. I agree. I was also going to suggest that I could throw up a wall of fire if needed. It doesn't have to be out the gate, but a wall of fire can happen, or a wall of ice.
As knights, it is our responsibility to break the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know y'all got crown of stars and shit. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I do. We do.
Have we gotten into initiative? Because that's the first thing I'm going to want to do.
So we are not an initiative. So what I was thinking for this is maybe let's go with more of like a narrative kind of skill challenge, like how you're going to get across the field. So if all of you want to think of one skill you would use to contribute, and if you are casting spells, we're going to hand wave it and say like you can do an arcana check and you can describe what you're doing, but I'm not going to penalize you with a spell slot.
Ooh.
Or like a bone, like, yeah, action kind of thing.
Yeah, so we're just, it's all narrative. We're not going to go into initiative order. So as we're running through and you all start to make your way across this field here, this is all simultaneously happening, you know, as people are fighting all around you and you're narrowly ducking under like lances that are shooting over your head and spears and combat and people, you know, once like they're wounded on the ground. So you're stepping over bodies dressed in both black or white, just making your way, you know, beelining for this tower. Sawyer, what are you doing? What kind of skill are you using as you are helping keep everybody safe making your way towards this tower?
I feel like trying to weave my way through a war around me, I'd probably make use of my acrobatics more than anything, like somersaulting over and under and around people, doing some like spin moves. And trying to like break open a pathway so that the maidens behind me have a little bit of a clearer route through the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if you're spinning whirlwinding karate, people will probably want to move out of the way of that. So why don't you go ahead and make me then that check and see how you do clearing a path.
Alrighty. Oh, 13.
Okay, you are struggling as you are doing this because, you know, every time you deal with a specific opponent, it feels like some other bit of chaos just crashes in into your path or into your way. Things here on this field are quickly devolving into just an all-out brawl, and you are having to dodge not only the white enemy, but also black soldiers on your side who have just totally lost perception of what's happening. So you are struggling to make any headway here. Kara, what are you doing to kind of hold things down?
So what she would do is she would definitely, with her shield ready, would be being like a bulwark in front of Arnadel and Farah, and just whenever people go by, she would just shove them off and like try and deflect them and like, yeah, and you know, get the stragglers that have ducked over or behind our monk.
Yeah. Nope. All right, what kind of what kind of skill are you using to do that?
I would say definitely athletics, as she's just basically just like smashing people out of the way.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and roll it, see how you're doing.
That is a 16.
Okay, so you're making a little bit more headway here. Every once in a while, you know, a hit or a jab gets in, but for the most part, you are subverting a lot of the chaos that is happening immediately in front of your companions here. Brittany, what is Arnadel doing right now to sort of help this passage?
I would like to roll a history check to see if I have come across any battle strategies in any of my books many of the ones that I've studied. And if I can see a play that is happening and maybe anticipate what the next team is going to do, maybe we can use that to our advantage to break through it.
Yeah, very cool. All right, go ahead and roll it.
Not terrible. That's going to be a 19.
Okay, so as you are kind of picking your way through the chaos, you know, and Saye is in front, like, tripping people and trying to make room, and Kara is, like, getting all the rest of them here. You know, you're kind of thinking and observing everything that's happening here. And, you know, it was so hard to tell amidst all of the chaos that was happening, but now that you're kind of getting your bearings here, you're like, oh, these groups of people, they sort of are moving in chess-like patterns, and you recognize like this opening gambit that you are currently in, and you're like, oh, okay. And you know, just in time, you're able to like be like, move over to the left or move back, move around. So you're able to kind of call out directions to your party around you to avoid the bulk of this force on both sides here. So you are picking a path that is going all avoiding that central move that these chess armies seem to be playing out.
Not knowing about battle strategy, I'm going to do my very best to say it in the terms that I think that Arnadel thinks that Kara will... like, get. Oh, like, okay. This is a moment where Arnadel's like, this is one of the precious few things that I've ever read about battle, and maybe that I can speak in the, like, in Kara's language, because,
making an effort to use the lingo.
Yes, yeah. A lingo that I'm not well versed in, but I'm gonna do my damnedest. Like, I've studied it philosophically, but practical application is rusty.
Dig it. No, Kara's super.
So I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna see Kara, like, picking up on it. I'm gonna see, Sawyer kind of getting it and Farah like, okay, yeah, let's fucking do this. And then I'm just gonna kind of go with it. probably, you know, like when you call a goalie like a touchdown or something like that kind of thing.
Yeah, touchdown. Yeah. Awesome. And Katie, what is Farrah doing to help this journey?
Always as ever in the back, kind of being like the most of the people are getting warded off by everybody else doing all their stuff. I think every now and then somebody just kind of gets in through the side, just through things going, and she just will just shoot out her giant wings in the back and her eyes glow. And she's like, I think you want to stand back, buddy.
Woo! Oh my gosh, yeah. Step back.
So I'll do it. Get intimidation.
It. That makes sense to me. Roll it.
18 plus 5, so 23.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, you are incredibly scary. So anybody coming towards you all who is like, oh, wow, they look like a target, it's like, okay, no, you know, and swings around with their swords or blades and heads back in towards the central fray, considering you too much of a problem to deal with. So between the four of you, as you are driving people off, scaring them away, and picking out the best route to get to this tower, you manage to pull beyond this now basically a central like clusterfuck that is just happening here, as both troops have just moved into the center and are trading blow for blow with each other, which leaves a lot of that back space open, including a very clear pathway to the tower. So right now, you're probably about 500 feet away at this point. And as you look up at this tower, it stands about 200 feet tall, so pretty imposing, maybe like a 30 by 30 foot tower, so just solidly placed here. And as you are moving closer to this tower, you hear like a shrill sound coming from it, and as you do, you're still, you know, you're 500 feet away, so that's not a small distance, but you can see, like, at the very, very top of this tower, shutters kind of fly open, and you can just make out a figure who's, like, waving their fists, and then as this happens, yeah, they're screaming something, but you cannot hear at this distance.
Okay.
This is a white tower, right?
Yes, a white tower.
Fuck yeah. Fuck this tower. Let's go capture it.
Oh, after
yes,
you,
the
madam.
The queen had told you that the king was castled, so you needed to go to the castle to get the king.
Let's roll out, maidens. We're almost there.
You start running faster, and now you're like within 300 feet of this tower, and now you can kind of hear the voices a little bit more, and you're like, it's this garbled language that's almost arcane sounding, and then you just hear like a "I'll get you" from this this figure, and then you hear a roaring sound coming from the sky, which directly above you turns sort of a crimson in color. These clouds of crimson mist move in here, and there is a roaring sound as suddenly gigantic flaming balls of fire begin raining down upon you as meteors are being called from the sky to crush you all. So I'm going to go ahead and put them on you all. So let's everybody please make me a dexterity saving throw.
You got it, dude.
As these massive chunks of flaming rock have been conjured from the sky.
A natural 20.
19. Woo.
I got a 17.
29.
Okay. Okay, so I'm sorry, Kara, what did you end up with?
21.
Yes, that is a failure. Farrah?
19.
19, a failure. So Saya is the only one who succeeds on this check. So these rocks crash into Earth with the full impact of a meteor striking the planet. So everybody who fails is going to take 20 d6 fire damage.
Oh.
That is going to be 70 points of fire damage.
Oh, 70? God.
And then that is going to be 68 points of bludgeoning damage. So you are taking half of that.
Oh. Well, then what's the grand total, math people?
It was 70 and then
68.
What was the other number?
60. Sai is not going to take
any. 138.
I'm dead.
Okay. How dead it matters.
I mean, my HP is 23, or I'm sorry, 123, but I also have my...
Okay, you're not outright dead.
I have that dexterity ring. I mean,
you should do that.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
Okay, so you are going to save then with this dexterity so that you're only going to be taking half damage. So...
138. It was 138 divided by 2. 69.
Yeah. 69. So everybody who succeeded is taking 69 damage. Sorry, you don't take anything because of evasion, remember?
Oh my god.
Oh shit, yeah. Thank you.
So these gigantic balls have fallen to earth now, and all of you are pelted with just the immense heat and gravel of these things as they are exploding against the earth here. And that figure up in the tower continues to just yell what you now assume are arcane words at you all. And this tower is still 300 feet away, so, I mean, you would know that is quite a bit of time if this person is a spellcaster. So we are going to go ahead and go into initiative here. All right, what did you all get on your initiatives?
Saya has a 17.
Sarah has a 15.
Okay.
Sage is a 6.
And Brittany has a 7.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. So with that, then, Saye, you have the first move. You can see that the only entrance to this tower is a single set of double doors at its base there. And otherwise, all around you in this 300 feet radius, it's basically nothing but space. And then that little window it's almost at the very top of the tower. So like 150 feet up.
150 feet up, and how close to the entrance of the tower am I?
Like 300 feet away.
Okay. I turn around everyone else and I want to ask, because I want to bring them all with me and obviously help them get out of this meteor shower. I don't know if it'll happen again. But should I just keep going and get the king? Or I'm saying this as I'm running towards whoever I assume Kara is closest to me to, like, help her get back onto her feet.
I think this we're going to be safer the faster that guy's dead. So go, girl.
Yeah. We should definitely help clear the path.
Okay. So I should just run into the tower?
But be careful.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'll just keep trucking ahead and move 65 feet towards the tower.
Sure. So if 65 feet is your base speed, right?
Yeah.
So you could do 65 feet. You could choose to just move completely. So you can move 130 feet.
Uh-huh.
And then you could use, if you wanted to spend a key action to dash,
uh-huh,
then you could also do that and then run another 65 feet.
The step of the wind.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. So that'd be, you would be 190 feet close. 195 feet.
95. Yeah.
So you can run 195 feet if you want to blow a key point to be able to do that. So what does it look like when you run that fast in 6 seconds? Please tell me.
Well, if anyone knows what this character is inspired by, it looks very much like the Avatar running using wind bending airbending to, like, push the air, use the air to propel me forward. And so there's a little bit of ki-empowered air bending that Saya is doing in order to propel her forward and take normal steps. Kind of like how weird and uncomfortable it looks when vampires run in Twilight.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you for that gift. Yeah. All right. So in a flash, Saya is gone and almost 2/3 of the way towards this tower, which brings us to Farrah. What are you doing? You're 300 feet away, 190 feet, 5 feet away now from Saya.
Yeah. So Farrah's going to look at Kara and look at Arnadel and be like, I'm sorry. I have a mighty need. And she's going to run her 30 feet. And then she's going to distance spell a fireball right into that window.
Did you just tell us you have a mighty need?
I have a mighty need.
A mighty need.
I'm going to be using this for my life.
And I'm going to cast it at, I'll go 5th level.
Okay. All right. So I am making a dexterity saving throw. Yoth? Okay. So dexterity, I only got a 14.
That's going to fail. He's going to take 41 points of fire damage.
Okay. So you see this ball of fire, like, smatters against this window where this guy is just yelling at you, like, out of shutters that he's opened. And as, like, your fireball comes up, you see a, oh no, and, like, he's trying to, you know, close the shutters as your fireball impacts the side of this tower here. And there is a very odd thing that happens as you see the fire, like, hits the tower and it sort of, like, wobbles the surface of it for a moment before it firms up. And yeah, you're looking at the tower with magic and you're like, it looks like there's some kind of, there's something wrong with this tower. Something that's sort of blocking you from its nature. It's
not like a regular, like, warding spell.
No, it doesn't look like it. You're honestly not sure what's going on with this tower. It is definitely magical. But it's not like a standard shield or guards or wards or anything. But you do see parts of the tower are scorched. So it took half damage from that shot.
Okay. Farrah looks fucking pissed. She's got, like, the slightly, like, hovering anime hair, and her eyes are fully glowing.
Ah, you've got Ghibli hair. Very cool. All right, and then with that, we come to... Oh, is that my turn? Yes, it is. Cool, cool, cool. All right, I think something happens, and you're 195 feet closer, are you, Saye? Mm-hmm. What can I do to you? What can't I do to you? Oh, cool. So you are within range as a bolt of lightning shoots out once again from that window as you see, like, this face reappears and screams something. And this long bolt is coming right at you. So I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
This isn't something I can use my deflect missiles with, can I?
No, not for lightning.
Cool. Well, that's
it is not a missile. Maybe if Zeus was throwing it at you.
It's a 13, but I can re-roll that thanks to a feat I have that I... Where is it? Diamond Soul? Yeah. Thanks to my Diamond Soul feature.
What does that do?
Basically, I can spend a key point to re-roll any saving throw if I fail and use the second result.
Whoa, okay, so roll again.
Monk.
21. 21 is not going to do it, as you are this chain bolt of lightning shoots out towards you and just crackles all over your body with electricity. Did you roll for your bando to see what you're resistant to today?
I did.
Your damage reduction?
I didn't.
You should do that.
I was about to say
what,
that.
What is it again? A d10?
A d12.
Four?
So it's acid... bludgeoning, cold, fire. So you have resistance, you have damage reduction 10 to fire.
Well, that's not going to help you as you get zapped. So you are going to take 36 points of lightning damage as this bolt strikes you.
Don't you still take half of evasion?
Well, no, that's on an area effect. Or, well, actually, you might be right. I think it's anything that requires me a dex saving throw.
You either take half or no damage.
Mm-hmm. But
okay, then that'll be 19? 19 points of damage? Lightning damage. As he gets zapped. Cool. So that was their action there. And then, that's spicy. Then I then I do that. All right, which brings us back up Arnadel, and then Kara, and then Saye.
Cool. I'm going to activate my Crown of Stars.
Cool.
And I believe that is an action. I would like to move as far as I can.
Okay, so you can move 30 feet. So you are 270 feet away now from this tower. All right, and then Kara, we come to you.
So Kara's going to cast, for her bonus action, Mass Healing Word. So Farrah, myself, and Arnadel will get back 12 points of healing.
Okay.
Ooh, nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Saye, Sai is sadly too far away. And then I am going to, for the first time ever, I'm going to spend my action activating the, let's see, we've seen fire and lightning.
Mm-hmm.
She's just gonna like smash all of the buttons that are on the front of her shield for her action, and it's going to give her and spend the 5 charges, and it's going to give her resistance to all damage for 1 minute or until I'm reduced to 0 HP.
That's nice. That's nice. Woo! We see that shield activate.
And suddenly, yeah, you see this from the shield emits just this huge, like, prismatic spray of crackling energy around Kara.
Damn,
so
girl.
Cool!
Damn. And then she's gonna run!
Run 30 feet! Whoa, whoa, whoa!
35
whoa,
feet.
Whoa, 35 feet! Oh man, such a bummer you all are so far away and I have so many spells.
What's a girl to do?
What's a girl to do? Saye, so you are currently 105 feet away from this tower, from the doors.
Well, I think the best move is just to, you know, get there. So I will take my movement and move 65, and then also spend a key point to dash, and then get pretty much there with my 130 feet.
Yeah, yeah, so you'll be able to make it there.
Yeah.
So as you do, so you're doing your double movement and
yeah.
So you're moving 195 feet again. Yeah. So as you get up to the base of this tower here, you know, you go and you can like pull at the handles of the doors, which swing open easily. And you can see like an atrium kind of waiting in front of you here. So sort of like a reception room. You can see like a couple tables that have been spread out and like, you know, tapestries on the walls. And then on a far side of this room is a door. That probably leads up to the stairs for the rest of the tower, but this room here is flat on top. And as you pass through the tower doors, the man stops screaming, and just like you all hear a bang as he closes the shutters, and seems to have been gone.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. So in that moment here, we're out of initiative now. This person who's been throwing spells at you just seems to stop.
But the battle rages on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's still in the middle. You know, both the white and black armies are just still going at it ferociously. And you can hear, you know, the sounds of chaos coming from that field.
That wasn't the king. That was just the rook that we were battling.
Well, the king is in this tower. Well, I'm inside.
Yeah, you're standing inside. If the rest of you would like to walk up to join Saye, there doesn't seem to be anything stopping you.
Yeah,
I would like to do some healing before I enter this. Everybody, gather around.
Gather around. Let's hold hands.
Oh wait, if you're gonna do like a big heck and heal, I'll cast Beacon of Hope so we can get back max points.
Yo. Awesome. All right, so I'm gonna do a mass cure wounds then, which is 3d8 plus 5. Somebody do math.
3d8, so 24 plus 5, 29.
So you all get 29 back. And yeah, like I was saying, Sage, once Saye passes through the doors of this tower here, this person who's been slinging spells at you closes the shutters and does not appear to be engaged with you anymore. So you can absolutely just walk up to where Saye is inside the tower.
All right. Do we think that just going inside is enough, that we've captured it by going inside, or do we gotta run up these stairs and kill this motherfucker?
If it was enough, things probably would have ended by now. I think we should head up, keep making our way up this tower to see what we find.
Honestly, I think we needed to destroy the tower.
I mean, this is just a rook, though. This isn't the king. Just capturing a rook isn't gonna do anything.
So you all are standing in the tower. Okay.
Are there stairs to run up or anything?
Yeah, so when you do, you run into this room here. And this room, again, it goes the entire length of the tower, so it's like a 30 by 30 foot circle room. You see the ceiling in this room is about 15 feet high or so, and this is clearly like a reception kind of atrium area. And then you do see a door, like up a few steps, and then there's like a door that presumably if you open the door, it's going to lead you to the big spiral staircase that leads up. And you take all of this in, and as the last one of you crosses the threshold of the door here, you hear like a sound, and you see the doors that you entered through swirl around and dissolve into the wall, almost like they were made of flesh, and they become flush with the door here. And it's gone. The door is gone. There are no windows. There are no exits other than this door in front of you here.
All right, everyone, get out your sleeping bags and yoga mats, because I'm about to play you a song of rest while we enjoy this mid-roll ad break. Have you thought about gifting someone this holiday season access to our Venture Maidens Patreon? Because now you can pay for an entire year's membership at any level all at once! With access to our Patreon feed, you get two additional actual campaigns to listen to, Descent into Avernus and the first season of The Rising Hunger. If you missed our weekly live streams of The Rising Hunger and don't want to fuss with YouTube, then become a patron at just $1 a month at patreon.com/venturemaidens to start binging some deliciously good content. And while I'm at it, of course thank you to Elderwood Academy for being one of the sponsors of this episode. Elderwood Academy are artisans who craft amazing gaming products including dice towers, dice trays, dice boxes, deck boxes for you magic nerds out there, dice, and more. All products are crafted to look like spellbooks, scroll cases, codexes, and other badass fantasy gear. They even have a neat little wooden creation called a spell circle, which has a little platform on it so you can magically levitate a set of dice. It's Tensor's floating disc, just for dice. What a flex! You can find that one and many more at elderwoodacademy.com/don't split. Now that you've spent your hit dice, regained spell slots, and recharged your key, let's get back to the action. Flesh with the door. Yeah, well. All right, well, let's get there.
Farrah. Farrah, what are you doing?
So, I guess I'm just going to kind of look around, see if there's any, like, runes or anything around that kind of give me any indication. And also, like, just try to find out more in general about this tower we're in between the field, like the magic field, and the fucking dissolving doors. Like, what's going on here?
Sure. Do you want to make like an arcana check?
Sure. You see Farrah high five herself, a clap, and guidance. That's going to be. Okay, that's not too bad. 15 plus 9, 24.
Okay, so with the 24, you are looking around this room here, and what catches your attention is that over the door that leads upward, you see that there's a symbol carved into that door, and it's very clearly a warding of some kind that covers this door, blocking passage. And as you're kind of looking around at everything else, you're not really sure, honestly, what's happening here. What would cause a tower to do that? You don't know. It's honestly, it almost looked like a living thing for a moment. And I think you're kind of considering all of this when just underneath you, the floor kind of shakes and you see that the stone explodes outwards as this gaping jaw filled with teeth opens up and tries to bite at you.
We're inside of the living piece.
Is a 16 gonna hit you?
Me? No.
Okay. Yeah, so you manage to throw yourself out of the way just in time as the floor tries to bite you of this tower.
Is this a giant mimic?
That face, podcast people, if you can see this face.
Quick, someone take a screen cap.
Clip it!
And then as you throw yourself out of the way of these jaws that appear in the floor, you see these like fleshy nodules come out of the wall, and all of a sudden spells start getting peppered towards you as you see eldritch blasts are coming at you from all sides. So Farrah, it seems to be continuing its assault specifically against you here. So I'm going to go ahead and roll a lot of eldritch blasts. One moment.
Oh, I love hashing those out. I would never want to be on the receiving end of one of those.
How you like that? Boom. Okay, so let's see. Let me just double check. I get a plus, yeah, a plus 14. So 27 going to hit you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 17 going to hit you?
I'm going to cast shield. 23 is the number.
Okay. So no. One more yes. One more yes. One more yes.
Hope they don't have agonizing blasts, guys.
So four eldritch blasts are coming at you here. So we are going to go 8, 2, 5, and 9 points, all force damage, as these fleshy bits of the wall are firing these spells off at you. And with that, Arnadel, we come to you. The tower itself. All right. So with that, yeah, Arnadel, we are up to you. What are you doing?
Trying to take this all fucking in.
It's horrifying. And as you think, oh, mimic, that would kind of explain, because this thing is a creature. It wasn't like a magic item.
So I would like to pull out my witch staff.
Yep.
Staff of the witch. And I'm going to push that shit down like Gandalf and say, I'm going to bestow curse.
Okay. Do I get a save for that?
You must make a wisdom saving throw, and your DC is 18.
Then I got a 21.
I don't know what happens if you save.
Yeah, unfortunately not. Nothing happens. So you feel this tower, this being, turn away your spell as it resists it. Which, would you like to do any, would you like to move anywhere? You all are kind of standing in the middle of this 30 by 30 foot.
Yeah, I'm going to take a bonus action and blast it with my fucking crown of stars.
Pew! Fair enough. All right.
Do ranged, I have to make a ranged spell attack, so.
Mm-hmm.
So 13?
So a 13 is not going to do it. You see, like, the walls of this place, they shimmer again and kind of, like, harden as your magic bounces off of the walls, not seeming to be strong enough to affect it.
Damn, I wonder if a fucking dagger's would do the trick.
Against the stone walls. All right, and with that, we come to you, Kara.
So Kara is not into being inside of a creature. We already fought the worm. I don't really feel like being in another one. She's going to use her bonus action to rage, and now she's just going to start. She's going to run headfirst into a wall and just try and just lodge her axe into it as deep as she possibly can.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Go ahead and roll to try and hit.
All right. So that is a 28 and a 25.
Yes, both of those will hit.
And then she's going to get 11, 13 plus 9 is, and then 22 plus an additional 14 damage.
Okay, so 36 total. All right. And that is all magical. Yep. Okay, good.
Yep.
Right.
And that is her turn.
Sweet. And in response, you know, as you are chunking away, like, at this stonework, it looks like you can feel this rubbery texture of flesh, as you are, like, chopping into the walls here. So you get past whatever it was creating to make this veneer of stone, and actually begin to hurt this thing. And in response, it clearly does not seem to like that. And you hear, like, a wailing sound coming from somewhere further up in the tower, and suddenly this cloud of yellow gas moves and starts to fill up this space here, completely filling the area in this room. So I need everybody to go ahead and make constitution saving throws, unless you are immune to poison damage.
Ba-bam!
All right, so people who aren't immune to poison, Farrah, is that you?
I'm not immune, for sure. I have resistance.
Arnadel, are you immune to poison? I don't think so.
No, but I did roll an unnatural 20.
Ooh, that is not going to do it.
Ooh, actually, I'm not immune. I just have resistance as well.
Ah.
Silly me!
Okay. I got a 19. All right,
so that's 25.
Yo. I'm, like, so happy for myself that I chose a monk 5 years ago to play.
Yeah, 5 years ago. Okay, so if you did not save, that is going to be 25 points of poison damage. If you did save, that is going to be 12 points of poison damage.
I got a 19, but then I use my favored by the gods feature, and now I have a 24.
A 24 will do it. We'll save. Then it's 6 for you, Farrah. Boo! Okay. So with that, this creature and this cloud persists, and it is filling up this room, and it has this acrid, like, nasty smell. So as long as it hangs around, you are going to have to make saves every turn you start in this cloud. And it does not seem to be going anywhere. And then, Saye, we come to you with Farrah on deck.
So there's no other exits or doors in this room now because the mimic thing has, I don't know, molded it all away.
There is a door that leads, you think, to a set of staircases, but Farrah did see, like, a warding glyph over it.
What did the glyph look like?
So the glyph looks like an arcane sigil that you would see for, like, a spell like Guards and Wards or something, but it's not quite that. But you do get the sense that this is here to block passage.
Well, while we're in here, I guess, if I'm sure Farrah told us that that path is blocked, so he doesn't really have a way to disarm that, I will try to, with my staff of stunning, strike the floor of this room that is trying to bite everyone.
That's fair. Yeah. All right, so go ahead and roll to hit.
25?
Yeah, you do manage to hit this floor here. So go ahead and roll that damage for me.
Is that how that works?
13 damage.
Okay. And then I'm stunned until the beginning of your next turn, right?
Let me make sure that's correct. Yeah, start of my next turn. And with my extra attack, I'm now going to try to stun the wall that was firing all the spells.
Okay.
16.
16 is not going to do it. That tough stone veneer drives away your hit.
Then, as my bonus action, I'll spend a key point to hit a flurry of blows on this same wall. And can I spend another key point to make one of those blows a stunning strike?
I don't know the rules on that, so I'm going to let you do it. Who knows? I don't know monks well enough. So sure. Let's go ahead and do it.
26 to hit for that first. So it is stunned. So I get one more hit just for, well, I got to roll the damage. Sorry.
Yep.
10 damage. And then for my second hit, this is just going to be a regular hit since it's already stunned. And that's 21 to hit.
Okay. 21 is exactly the number you need to hit.
Very good. Oof. Then that's 10 more damage.
Ow. Yeah, so you are, like, punching into the walls, which seems like it's going to be a terrible idea, but, like, as you impact just enough force, you do see, like, the stone bends around your fists as you are pummeling this creature. So you can definitely tell that it is moving. And this, like, slight undulation that the walls are constantly doing seems to have slowed, as this being, or at least this part of the being, seems momentarily stunned by your actions.
Nice.
Very cool. All right. And then, Farrah, we come to you.
All right. I'm going to go to the door, and I'm going to cast Dispel Magic on it.
As you do so, I think you very quickly realize that this is not a spell so much as this is something the creature is doing to block your way. So you feel like you are going to have to quell this creature, this part of the creature, to be able to pass.
Use as a bonus action, just like kind of go against the wall and do Spirit Guardians. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. That's not a bonus action. The bonus action is Spiritual Weapon. I'll do that.
You summon your scissors.
Yeah, she'll summon her scissors and just start like into the wall. That's a natural 20.
Ooh, all right.
And that's going to be a 6 and an 8, which is 14 plus 5, 19 points of damage.
All right, so you do 19 points of damage as you are cutting now into this wall, this mass that Saye has stunned by kicking the walls and the floor of this room into submission. Then we are going to go ahead and come here now. So you hear the room around you kind of like shudder as it's trying to move, but from further up, again, you hear that yelling sound, and then you see descending from the ceiling, a fireball shoots through and moves the room here. So I need everybody to go ahead and make a dexterity saving throw.
I got a 16.
You said dexterity. I got a 23.
Pass.
Cool.
I fail.
And then, Saye, what did you get? Dare I ask?
15.
Oh, okay. So that is a failure. All right. So here we go. Okay, so it's 32 for everybody who did not save. That is fire damage, 32 fire damage, or 16.
For me.
If you did save, or if you have evasion, as this fireball shoots off from somewhere further up in the tower here. Cool. And then we're going to go ahead and move to my turn again. And I need everybody to make a save, because we're all standing in cloud kill. So everybody make a constitution saving throw, unless you are immune to poison.
Natural 20.
Ooh. 18.
Ooh!
For a total of 30.
Oh, God. 18 is a fail. 30 is a pass.
I got a 27.
Okay, that is a pass. All right, so that is going to be, only 18 points for anybody who didn't save, or nine for people who are resistant or who did save. Sick. Cool, but that is a concentration spell, so it can cast another spell.
I don't want it to, though.
But it really likes it. Okay, and then I'm going to go ahead and say, so Saye keeps resisting its spells, and it's not a fan. So Saye, I need you to make me an intelligence saving throw.
It's a 22, but I can reroll that if it's a failure.
22 is exactly the DC you needed, which is great. Yeah. As you feel this wave of like enchantment magic like pass over you, and you manage to kind of shake that off of yourself, feeling like you just narrowly avoided something very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arnadel, we come to you with Kara on deck.
So watching what's going on, because I'm like definitely in game mode right now. No pun intended. So I want to cast Shadow of Moyle.
Moyle!
Yeah.
Moyle!
Because I can see in magical darkness!
I love that name so much.
Moyle!
Moyle!
All right, what is going on? What is going on
with
this?
Flame-like shadows wreathe my body until the spell ends, causing me to become heavily obscured to others. Until the spell ends, I have resistance to radiant damage. In addition, whenever a creature within 10 feet of me, which I am standing upon... makes an attack, the shadows lash out and the creature gets 2d8 necrotic damage.
Nice. So you become wreathed in shadowy tendrils, ready to slap.
Whip smack
do
it.
Any slappies against anything that hits you. Ready for slappies.
Yeah. Anytime it does. Yeah. There we go. So there's that.
Extremely cool. Okay. So that was your action.
Bonus action. I'm going to fucking look over to see where the fuck Saye was like pounding into that weak spot. And I would like to cast a fucking flame ball at it or whatever. Crown of stars.
Your crown of stars. Flame ball / crown of stars. star
pew.
Balls.
Pew pew at it.
Star balls. Shoot some star balls at it.
At that weak part.
You are rolling with advantage since this creature is stunned.
Yes. Okay, so that first one. So 22.
22 is gonna hit.
Oh, shit. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yas.
fuck yas. That's
30 points of damage.
Wow, that's a lot of damage.
That is a lot of damage.
It.
Yeah.
I hate that.
30 points.
I hate that. Oh my God.
God forbid it tries to hit me because I'll smack it.
So you are seeing, as you all have been doing a significant amount of damage to this room, you see the veneer of, like, this room is starting to fade away. So, like, parts of the stone are crumbling, and even, like, the chairs and furniture and table you see are sort of turning into these shapeless masses, and you realize that every single thing in this room was part of the creature, was part of the mimic, and it's all starting to lose its shape. as you are wailing on it. So this room is sort of going gelatinous around you as you are dealing damage. Which brings us to Kara. What are you doing?
Kara is going to run over where Farah was trying to flex with the door. Yep. And is just going to go axe first right into the door. She's like, you see, here you look like Johnny! You're onto something.
Oh, jeez.
I'm here for it. Jack Nicholson, this door.
So that is a 31 to hit.
Yeah. You're rolling with advantage as well, since this room is stunned.
Yes. Yes. That is a 29 to hit.
29, yes.
And that is a 30 to hit.
Yes. Yes.
12, 18, 20, 23, 25, plus 9 times 3. So 25 plus 27 is 52 points of damage altogether as she is just cleaving into this thing and this, like, purple ichor that's, like, of this creature is just spraying everywhere. And Kara is like, if there ain't a door, we gotta make one, touch!
And as you are chopping at this wall, you see that this door is trying to, like, it tears and then it's trying to reshape itself frantically as it's trying to just keep building this door as you keep chopping away at it. So it is still holding in there, but this, you are clearly forcing this creature to go to desperate lengths at this point here. So with that, I get a turn, and then, so I'm no longer stunned, or is it at the start of your turn? It's at the start of your turn? Ugh! Yep. Monk!
That's right!
Oh! Okay, so stunned, oh no, I wiggle, and then Saye, we come to you with Farah on deck. Saye, what you doing to it?
Well, hey man, since this stunning move is so dang effective, we're gonna do it again.
Oh, shit, yeah. I'm falling. I'm about to team up with your ass.
We're here, we're doing it again. Let's staff of stunning the floor once more. Ah. That's an 18 to hit.
An 18 will not hit. Your fist bounces off of this wall.
That's okay, extra girl. Attack, we're gonna try again.
Okay.
19 to hit.
No, not gonna do it. You feel like the being moved around a bunch of its mass to deal with you specifically on this side of the room.
Cool. So we'll make that two more key points for a flurry of blows and make at least the first one so far a stunning strike.
All right, let's do it.
Well, that first one didn't hit because it was like a 14.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so let's try this on the thing. Oh god.
Oh boy.
16 to hit that time.
Wow. Yeah, you are punching and kicking, and this time it actually feels like you're impacting stone, mm-hmm. And I think you sort of feel foolish, and your hands hurt.
We're not ready to give up. We're gonna use our gift of the present and let ourselves do this all over again.
Oh my god, let's do it.
So from the top.
Let's do it.
18 to hit that. We know that doesn't.
No.
Okay, I'm going to use my reaction to give you a plus 10 to hit on that.
Ooh, so 28.
By using my War God's Blessing.
Thank you.
Wow, War God's Blessing? Jesus fuck, that sounds elegant.
War cleric.
All right.
Yeah. You have my War God's Blessing.
So finally, it's stunned, and we've done, so 12 damage in addition to the stunning. Damage. And that was the floor. I smacked the floor.
You get the sense that the walls and the floor are one being in this room. This whole room is one being.
Oh, okay. I figured it's different parts were like...
It feels like the room up above you has been casting spells down at you.
Uh-huh.
And then another force somewhere higher up has been casting spells down at you. But this room itself has one action entirely.
Okay. But it doesn't feel any more difficult or easy to attack a certain part of the room, right? Like,
it does not.
Right. Okay. So then I guess I'll just swing my next extra attack at the floor once more. That plus 10 is gone, right? It was just for that last roll.
Yeah.
These eights, all I'm getting are eights.
No!
So that's an 18 to hit, which doesn't.
No.
So now, one more time, flurry of blows. We're spending another key point. Having 15 key points is nice, let me tell you.
Yeah, being level 15.
All right, flurry of blows. We get, oh no, 14. Oh my god, doesn't hit.
It was like 8 attacks.
I've been using both of them. They're not working for me.
No, you gotta
me.
Use my moonstone.
This thing is just too hot.
Touch the moonstone.
I've been rolling 18s and 19s and it's not hitting. And it's the floor, okay?
It's the floor. The floor is too hard.
The floor is moving around me.
The floor is too hard.
Drunk?
One more time. Last hit.
What is happening?
It doesn't work because that was a 15 to hit.
Damn.
Oh my god, I'm so
I
sorry.
Know.
Rag wrong.
So many mediocre rolls.
Rag yeah. run. Rung. You're rung out.
Oof. Well, it's still stunned. It didn't do more damage, but it is stunned.
It is stunned, which is unfortunate.
Yes.
And not fun for me as the DM.
I think that's a
Boo.
Great one.
Okay, Farrah, you are up, and then I get two actions, and then Arnadel, you're on deck.
Okay.
I'm not going to forget to quicken spell this one. So I'm going to quicken spell a mass cure wounds. 5, so everybody gets 15 points of healing. And then I am going to use my robe of the Sevenfold Veil. And I'm going to use my new thing,
yes,
which I totally forgot I got a level up on this item. And I'm going to cast a 10-foot radius dome around our group, in an indigo hue. And it says creatures inside the indigo ward are immune to spells and spell-like abilities cast from outside the ward.
Yeah.
So I'm going to shield all the babies and then try not to die. A creature that passes through it will get hit by a confusion spell. And then obviously it can be dispelled DC 17.
Very cool. And with that, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and dispel your bubble. So here we go. So this force comes down from up above, that same place that the fireball came from, and that is going to be a 19 as it reaches out to dispel your indigo orb. And you get a dark realization that this tower, whatever this is probably very intelligent, that it was able to point that out and be able to dispel it. But it does spend its turn doing so, which is good news for all of you. But while you are now here, Cloud Kill saves everybody. Constitution saving throws, please.
But 18.
23.
That'll do it. 22 is your spell DC. I think you all could have figured that out by now.
I got a 16.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then full damage on that is going to be 21 points. So half damage from a save or resistance is 10 points. Okay, and then it's going to go ahead, and it's really, really upset that Saya keeps doing this. But now you also are all in the same place, so I think a chain lightning is going to come down from the top of the tower here.
I'm going to counterspell.
Okay, so but counterspell, let's go ahead and try... Ooh, can I counterspell your counterspell? I do! Oh no, but... No, damn it. Okay, so I can't counterspell it. Okay, so yeah, you use counterspell and... The spell, like, fizzles out as you see that chain was, like, starting to come down from the ceiling here. And you're like, no, absolutely not.
Farrah's counterspell always comes from the middle finger.
I bet it does, girl. I bet it does. Yeah.
Eat this arcane power.
Yes.
all right. Very cool. And Farrah doing work. Okay, so with that, that was 2 of my 3.
My
so,
girl.
Arnadel, we are at you with Kara on deck.
I would like to cast, I'm going to, again, Gandalf style, throw that staff into the ground and cast Witch Bolt.
Witch Bolt!
Witch Bolt!
All right. So this creature is still stunned. Oh, how dare you. So this creature is still stunned, so you get advantage on that hit, or I make a save. Witch Bolt is...
It's a spell attack roll. Okay. And then each turn after that, you can do an automatic fire.
All right, so go ahead and roll to hit me. Roll with advantage. Because I'm stunned.
The first roll for that was a 21, and the second roll was a 22.
Yes, that will do it.
So the first, the bolt is 2 points of damage.
Okay. Pew.
And then I'm going to hit it with my Crown of Stars.
Yeah, all right, roll with advantage.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's stunned.
First roll is 22, second roll is... So 22.
22 will hit, so go ahead and roll that damage.
I love all those dice, oh my god. give it to me. 22 points of damage.
Oh.
I'm angry and I'm lit. I'm fucking lit right now.
Literally by stars.
I am shrouded in tentacle licking fucking anger darkness and I'm pewing out of that darkness. Stars.
Oh my god. Fair enough.
Beautiful.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you, Sage. Thank you. I think so too.
Beautiful. Excellent. So with that, we come then to you, Kara. My poor stunned baby. Ta-da. If they live to see this turn, I'd...
Oh boy, that's a 29.
29 will hit.
To hit.
Oh no.
That is a 26 to hit.
Oh no.
Oh, that's double twos. So that's a 15, but I'm gonna... Oh... No, my reaction hasn't refreshed yet. Well, that's two hits. A total of 38 points of damage to this creature.
Exactly 38 hit points. That's
yes!
All right, so as you chunk into the walls, so what does it look like when you destroy it? It doesn't destroy the structure. This structure stays in place and holds up all the other structures, but it becomes deactivated. So what's the flavor on that?
Oh boy. So finally, as she is just hacking over and over again relentlessly at the same spot, and finally it just cleaves open and you just see it's like this exposed sort of like bare wall of like the outside, and you feel this sort of like the energy sap from its body, and it grows kind of limp as it becomes deactivated. Yeah,
the walls like sag a little bit. So it was like a 15 foot tall room. So now it's like a 12 foot tall room, and the whole structure is just like, ugh, and like it loses all
little,
of the color.
Yeah,
being inside and, like, of a blow up castle that deflates.
Yeah, now it looks like a bouncy house.
Sad
a
bouncy
sad
house.
Sad bouncy house. As you have defeated this level of the mimic. So now you see that this door opens upwards, or there isn't a door anymore, and you can see the spiraling staircase that stretches up, and it seems to wrap around the tower, so you can't actually see the top of it. You'd have to walk all around and up this structure here.
Let's go.
And as you do so, it's my turn. Oh no, it's Saya's turn.
We're still on initiative, mm-hmm. Okay.
It's my turn as we're going up a tower?
Yep. What are you doing?
Lord, I don't know.
Wait, what? Like, we're just walking up some stairs, right?
Yeah.
What happens?
That's what you think.
So, what do you do that makes you think it's your turn?
Well,
I'm just, what are you doing in these 6 seconds, just out of curiosity?
you can just run up the
stairs. You can just run up the stairs.
That's fine.
That's such a triggering fucking question while we're still in initiative.
So many things to consider. Like,
I'm sorry, I don't understand what the problem is. There's just stairs in front of you, man. I don't know.
I think you can take the dodge action by spending one of your key points.
The dodge action?
Yeah, for your bonus action by spending a key point, so that attacks against you have disadvantage.
Oh, okay. I figured that would actually require me to...
Running.
Okay, if I can keep running and dodge at the same time, then sure.
Sure, yeah. So you want to spend your full movement to run upwards?
Yeah, let's do that. I'd like to stay ahead of everyone else just to see what's coming, what's ahead of the curve.
All right, so as you run up, and you have an ungodly amount of movement, so you run and you run and you run and you keep climbing stairs, and as you do so, you see that there are people ahead of you on the top of the stairs, as you realize the rest of your party is in front of you.
Oh, no. Endless stairs.
And you
stairs.
Take the dodge action?
Yeah, I did.
Cool. All right. Then it's my turn. And let's see. So out of the walls, a bunch of these tendrils are going to come towards you. As you see, the tapestries on the walls twist and start to whap at you all like tendrils here. So Sawyer, one will come for you. You know, one for everybody.
Well, it takes 2D whatever fuck necrotic damage if it makes a hit against me while I'm under Shadow of Moyle.
Yeah, let's see if it makes a hit. So that's going to be a 21, Sawyer. Is that going to hit you?
Sorry, say that again?
21, is that gonna hit you?
Yeah, well.
Oh yeah, we're at the top of the ground again. I'll use my reaction to give it disadvantage because I smacked it last time and I'm raging.
Okay, alright, then with disadvantage, that is going to be still...
Or it has disadvantage.
Still a 21.
Yeah.
So it is still gonna hit. So that's gonna be 4 plus 5, so 9 plus 2, 11, 19 slashing damage. And as you are like wrapped up in these tendrils, you feel yourself being hoisted upwards. So now you are suspended up in the air about 30 feet above your friends here as this tapestry is holding you now and you are restrained in its clutches. Kara, is a 26 going to hit you?
Yes.
Okay. Oop. That is going to be 26 slashing damage, and you are also hoisted up in the air by one of these banners. And then Farah, 18 probably isn't going to hit you.
It would, but I'm going to cast shield.
Okay. No, thank you. All right. So that one doesn't hit. 19, you think is going to hit Arnadel? Look on her sheet.
Yep, it does.
12. That's going to be 17 plus 8 is going to be 25 points of slashing damage for her.
My spirit dads will lessen the blow.
Thanks.
And they'll reduce that by 2d6.
Whoa, your dad's doing so much work.
6. So only 19.
All right. So Arnadel, you are going to take 19 points of slashing damage, be hoisted up 30 feet in the air. They are going to take the damage, though. So go ahead and roll that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see.
Man, I need another drink for this.
Things are grim.
I don't like it.
7 points of necrotic damage after it smacks me. And then how much damage do I take?
You take 19 points of damage, slashing damage, and you are hoisted and restrained 30 feet up in the air now. So right now, as things are standing, there's this very tall tower here, and there are all these banners that were kind of hanging like from the underside of the next layer of spiral stairs. So all of you are wrapped up in these, except for Farah, who's kind of on the ground watching your three companions struggle against their bonds as this tower has them all strained at this point. And with that, we're going to go ahead and, you know what, just for good measure, now that you all are restrained, a fireball comes down from this topmost level towards you all. So we're going to roll dexterity saves with disadvantage since you all are restrained.
Shit, I used my reaction already.
Oh, boy.
My dodge didn't help me at all, goddamn.
Did not.
14.
Hey, 4.
22, or sorry, excuse me, 20. Dirty 20.
Okay.
Damn, guys.
I got a 19.
We all fail.
Okay, so that is failure across the board?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be 29 points of fire damage.
I'm out.
All right.
Oh, I have a minus 10 for my fire damage. I'm immune this round.
There you go. Yeah. So you're chaos,
half
Bando.
Of that plus the, my, or minus 10.
Yes. So that'll be 19. Oh, well, so half of that would be 14 minus 10. You would take 4 points of damage. Nice.
How the fuck is your HP so high?
I'm incredible.
So, I'm amazing. So, Arnadel, go ahead and make me a death saving throw.
How do I do that on here?
Just roll a d20, and you want to get a 10 or higher.
11 or
higher. 11 or higher.
D20?
Just a d20.
Yep. Don't add nothing.
Is that a 1?
Is it a 1?
Oh, okay. Okay. A 1, you would have had to knock off 2. But now only mark off 1 bad, closer to death step on your sheet here. So basically, if you fail twice more, you are dead permanently. So, as you all are suspended in banners, trapped on this staircase that seems to go on infinitely inside of this gigantic tower mimic, I think we're going to leave it there for today.
No!
This is fine.
I don't even get my turn.
I need to write down what I want to do.
Start
with Kara, though. Yeah, if you all want to write down what
I don't think I've ever been here before.
I don't think you've ever...
Not willingly.
Is this the first negative death saving throw we've had on the Venture Maidens? This might be.
Oh, I'm sure Saya's come close.
For Arnadel, it is, but I don't think for any of us, any of the other maidens.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, things are getting spicy. I wanted to give you a spicy fight. So thank you all so much for being here. Thank you, everybody, for sticking around. So thank you all so much for being here for this spicy episode. Next time, we'll see what happens in this mimic tower that we are inside, this mimic arcane tower. more specifically. So, hi, I have been your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich. It was me, Purveyor of Horror.
I am your unconscious moon elf warlock, Arnadella Thill, played by Brittany.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm playing your, don't worry, I'm going to heal you, tiefling sorcerer, Farabalin.
I'm Nassim, who's very grateful that we're living the monk life here as Sayanur.
And I am Sage, and I am your cleric who's ready, barbarian cleric who's ready to take this fucking thing on and destroy it from the inside out, aka
please
Sage.
Please do. I can't wait for it.
Thank you all so much for being here. We love you. Please hit subscribe. Please tell your friends that you love this show. And until next time,
Venture away!
Everyone, Katie here. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Venture Maidens. This episode was brought to you by Hero Forge. Hero Forge lets you easily customize the miniature of your dreams with all sorts of fantasy races and their library of thousands of parts to choose from. I'm literally not kidding. I just made an elephant folk bard with a mermaid tail the other day, and they were beautiful. Their catalog of items just keeps growing, and once you've created something really special and unique, you get more options. Hero Forge lets you print them all out in a variety of materials, including plastic or metal, or even print it out yourself if you have a 3D printer. But if you don't have a 3D printer, make sure you check out their new color printing option. It's actually incredible. Visit heroforge.com today to start designing your own custom miniature masterpiece, and make sure that you are checking back often to see what new content they've added for us.